Let us turn again to the book of Ecclesiastes, to chapter 9 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. There is much warning in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, having gone far astray, was brought back. He was taught by God what the right way is, and he has various comments to make on the path that he had trodden, the way that he had explored, and when he was taught better, he has much to teach us. And he says this in connection with all we have to do in this world. Whatever it is, whatever our hand finds to do, whatever it is our duty to do, we are to do it with our might. All the force that we have, we are to use it in doing whatever is our duty. The assumption is that what our hand finds to do is what we should be doing, not what would be sinful. We are not to do that at all. We are to turn away from that. And we are pointed to the grave whither we are going. We are pointed to the fact that we must die. And in eternity, or at least in a lost eternity, there is no work, no device or invention, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether we are going. In eternity, in other words, there's nothing, we have no more opportunity to do good or to get good when this life is over. That's what is pointed to. We have no opportunity after this life to do good or to get good if we haven't found something precious, something that is the gift of God. Unless we have found that in this life, we will never find it afterwards. Yes. Whatever we do, we are to do it with earnestness. You have a similar expression, not terribly similar in form, but similar in terms of the direction, in Colossians chapter 3, and it's particularly addressed to slaves. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Now that's a difficult situation to be in, to be a slave, to have lost one's freedom, or never to have had freedom. Not able to make decisions for oneself. Everything is imposed upon a slave. It's do this, do that, get on with it. And perhaps no mercy at all show. No mercy in a time of illness. No mercy at any time. But what Paul says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Put your heart into it. Do it as to the Lord and not unto men. And how much more for us, whatever responsibilities we may have, we have been told in our text, and in that other verse, and in, no doubt we can draw similar lessons from any another passage, that we are to put our heart into what we are doing, whoever may benefit, not just if it's for ourselves, but if it's for others. We are to put our heart into it. We are to do it with our might. We are to put effort into it. Yes. Doing it to God. He is the one. I can't say he is the one who's going to benefit. But the one who may benefit may be a nasty character. He may be very unkind. The slave may have experienced much unkindness and thoughtlessness. But you see, he's to do his work. He's to do it heartily. Because he is to do it to God. As before God. As if he was directly serving God. That's what we're being told. How that applies, how much that applies to our everyday work in this world, to do it heartily, to do it with our strength. It's not that we're to give all our attention to the things of this world. That's another lesson. That's what we're to come to, will we say, from a different direction. But still, although we are to do everything sincerely and earnestly. Yet, the first thing, as we will notice, the first thing is to seek the salvation of our souls. That's the first thing. Whatever else we are to do, we are to seek salvation. And doing our daily work need not stand in the way of seeking salvation. There are many a thing one can do in this world and have some power left over, so to speak, so that we might try to pray to the Most High for a blessing on our souls. Well, there are three main points that I wish to consider as we apply this verse to seeking salvation, to seeking the good of our souls. You see, you might say, somebody has been seeking, and that person has found salvation. That person has been given grace to look to Christ. What then? Well, they are to go on seeking a blessing from God. They are to go on. Yes. But let us notice these three points then. First, all are going to the grave. As Solomon speaks of the grave, whither thou goest. The second point is this, that nothing relevant to this world can take place in the grave. We do have needs for this world, but I'm thinking particularly of the need of salvation, the need of seeking salvation, and the need of growth and grace, and matters of that nature. It's in this life we are to seek for them. When death comes, it brings to an end all opportunity for getting good for our souls. And then in the third place, we must work seriously now. Seriously. We must take things seriously. We must take our souls seriously. We must take seeking salvation seriously. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. This matter, our hand finds it. Well, all our powers should be involved in this matter of seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord seriously, seeking the Lord earnestly. That's 3 points. As the Lord may be pleased to help us, first, all are going to the grave. Second, our spiritual needs and our duty in connection with spiritual needs, that's for this life. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. And in the third place, we must work seriously now. Well, the first thing is that we must die. Life here is limited. We'll not go on forever. And what is more, we do not know when life will come to an end. See what we read in the book of Job, and I think it's Job himself who says it. He speaks of man, his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee, with God. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. But he has not revealed what these bounds are. We are to work with what we know. You see, people might say, I wish I knew how much time I've got left. Well, has God revealed that? Especially somebody who's been diagnosed with serious illness. They might well ask the doctor, how long have I got? The doctor might attempt to give a reply, and he could be out quite seriously. He's doing his best. Yeah, but the answer may be quite wrong. Well, you see, as far as our souls are concerned, we shouldn't need that answer. However healthy we are, or however unhealthy, however young we are, or however old we may be, we're to seek the Lord and do so now. We're not to be trying to work out how long have I got and I will live all but one day, all but one year, whatever it might be. I'm going to live as long as I can in sin. I'm going to delay seeking the Lord and enjoy myself. Yes. That's not it. That's not according to the spirit of Scripture. That's not according to the spirit of this verse. You see? We are to seek the Lord now, because we do not know how long we have. And you see, apart from that, we should be seeking to make the best use of all the time we have left, however long or short that might be, to make the best use of that by living to the glory of God. That should be in our minds. That should be exercising our hearts. How can I live to the glory of God? I've only got a short time in this world. How can I make the best use of it? How can I make the best use of it by living to the glory of God? You see, the acknowledgement of the psalmist, what we had in Psalm 39, and it was David that wrote it. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. He's comparing his days to his hand. I assume it's Sidon, even if it was that dimension across the way. It wouldn't make much difference. My days are short, is in effect what David is saying. And he goes on. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Yes. Life is short. It will soon be over. Oh, may we make the best possible use of what time we have. This present moment, when we are under God's word, when we have that serious verse in front of us, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy mind. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Yes, let us take it seriously. Let us take the shortness of life seriously. How short it is in comparison with eternity. Eternity going on, indefinitely. Can't say that about this life. It may go on for a while, but it's going to stop. And it may stop very soon. Yes. But see how Solomon speaks. I'm going back to chapter 8 at verse 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, and the sinner might well say to himself or herself, I'm getting away with it. Now that's not a suitable form of words to use before God, but that's the way people think. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, what is he to say? Yet, surely, I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, those who love God and keep his commandments, them that fear God which fear before him, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Those who fear God, those who love him, those who serve him, those who seek to do his commandments, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever they die, sooner or later, all will be well. It shall be well, says Solomon. On the other hand, it shall not be well with the wicked, however long their days might go on. It shall not be well with those who are still in their sins. That's what we are told. His days are still a shadow. They're very short. They will be taken away very quickly, because he does not fear God. And let me just go back to verse 11 and read it also. This warning, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see, there are those who are under God's curse, under sentence of eternal death, condemned to a lost eternity. And their life is allowed to go on. The sentence is not executed speedily. God in his long suffering allows time to go on. But you see, instead of valuing God's long-suffering, instead of valuing another opportunity or a series of opportunities to seek the Lord, that heart is further hardened, and that determination to go on in sin is increased. Yes. Oh, may we be wise. May we think of time passing. There's death. There's a resurrection. As the Saviour said, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, his own voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Death, in one sense, is just temporary. Death separating soul from body, but only for a time, until the end of the world. And then they will be reunited. And then there will be the judgment. Yes. And how we should be asking. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The words of Psalm 90 verse 12. Teach us, in view of what has been said of death and the uncertainty of life and the uncertainty of the length of life, teaches wisdom, that we might come before thee with wise words. Oh, may the Lord grant it. Let us be asked, for Christ's sake, that we would react wisely to what is set before us. Secondly, this part of our text, there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. We can't do anything about our souls when we get into the eternal world, unless we have sought the Lord in this life, unless we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, under the gospel, with a Bible in front of us. Yes, but there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the next world. That is, in a lost eternity. There's plenty work, plenty knowledge, plenty wisdom in heaven. Yes, but these things must be found in this life. Yes. See what you have at verse 4 in our chapter. Or verse 5. Oh yes. To him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. The one that is still in this world, there's hope. There's hope while we're still spared. Still we're to make use of our opportunities. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. No more portion, no more opportunity. We've got opportunities in this world. And we could speak of people having opportunities in connection with their work, opportunities to develop their homes, and things like that in this world. Afterwards, it doesn't matter. The home is left behind. Everything else, all the property, all the money they may have collected, it's irrelevant now. It's left behind. They can't use it. But you see, still, and this is the important thing, we have the gospel. We have the message of salvation. We have the message of salvation. We have the opportunity to seek the Lord. You see, the rich fool, as he is described, or the rich farmer, who had such a wonderful harvest, and he had great plans as to how this would allow him to live a very relaxed life. All would be well. All would be easy. And then there came this message to him from heaven. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. The soul was to be taken away from the body. The soul was to be taken away from this world. What then would happen to these things that he had gathered? Whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Whose would they be? Well, he might have an answer to that, but the important point was he wouldn't have them. He would lose them. He would lose them to someone else, his children perhaps. Well, we don't need to speculate. The important thing was they would not be his. They would not be his. And the corresponding property or whatever we might have, they will not be ours. Even although we may have spent too long, far too long, put too much effort into them. We've got things out of proportion so often. Yes, we're to, the slave was to do his work heartily. But the ordinary employee, yes, he's to do his work heartily. But is he to give every waking hour to his work? Hardly. There may be occasions when it's necessary to work long hours, but what about the soul? Is time being given to the soul? When time runs out for the person in this world, that's it. There'll be no more opportunity to find salvation. No more opportunity to find Christ. Are you, let me ask you, are you making use of your opportunities? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you reading the Bible beyond an absolute minimum? Are you? Are you taking up your Bible with a petition of prayer in your mouth and asking the Lord that you would find Christ in what you read? That it would be applied to your soul? Yes. See, we need to pray as well as read the Bible. We need to read the Bible as well as pray. We need to read the Bible ourselves as well as come to church to hear it preached on. And we're to be asking the Lord that he would bless to our souls what we hear. You see, it's not the preacher that can convert us. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that must work in our souls. Are we crying out for that? When you come in the door of the church, or when you walk along the lane, or when you get out of your car, or whatever it might be, are you asking the Lord, bless me. Bless me. Bless me at this service. May I obtain mercy. May I find Christ for my soul. Remember Christ to say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, sinner, Christ is calling. And you might be asking, what is it to come to Christ? Well, it's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can, might ask again, what is that? Well, go to the Lord and go to God through Christ and be asking that the Lord would draw you to himself, that the Lord would open your heart so that you might see Christ as the Savior of sinners, the one who came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came, and he's still at that same work. Yes, he does it heartily. He does it with his might. He does it with authority. From his throne in glory, he is speaking to sinners. Through preachers, yes. But the ultimate authority is Christ's. The preacher says many a thing. Where's the preacher's authority? That's not the point. The point is that the authority belongs to Christ. And he is speaking to us. Are you recognizing the authority that there is in these words I've quoted? Come unto me. Do not stay far away. Do not hold off. Do not stay any distance away. But come. Come and receive spiritual blessing. There is no work in the grave. There is no opportunity of believing after death has come. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Yes. You see, there's a question asked in Psalm 88. Or a series of questions in Psalm 88. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness, when people have gone from this world? Whatever the exact meaning of each question, I'm not going to take time to explore that, but I think the whole picture is painted before us. This life is our time of opportunity. Once we pass away from this world, our opportunities are finished. There's no hope of finding Christ. There's no hope of being impressed with the loving kindness of God. This life is what we are to make use of. We've got some time, however little it might be. We've got this amount of time that is described by the word now. And it's the time that is acceptable to God. Now, before we pass from this world, however soon that might be, and even if we have every hope, and even if we were to be right in that, every hope that our lives would be lengthened out for quite some time yet, this is our opportunity. But to make the most of it, we must seek God seriously. Oh, may he give us grace to do so. Let us be asking for that. Let us be in earnest. Yes. There is no work, no knowledge, no wisdom, and so on, in the grave where we are going. No opportunity to get these things. It's this, as you have it in the second last chapter of the Bible, where we are pointed to the fixed nature of a person's spiritual state when they pass into the eternal world. It's actually the last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22 and at verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. Those who are in an unprepared for heaven, that's how they will be. That's how it will go on when death comes. There's no further opportunity. But on the other hand, he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There's a finality about death. It's not the end of our existence, but there's a finality about it in relation to our opportunity to obtain mercy. We have this opportunity. Christ is speaking to us. Christ is speaking to us sincerely when he says, come unto me. We have no right to turn him away. Christ is speaking, but you see, only for a limited time. And as far as that is concerned, you see, we might be spared for many a day after this and never have a serious thought again. There may be serious thoughts in your heart now, and there may be the temptation to say, I'll see to it some other time. You might never have that opportunity. You might never have seriousness of thought that would lead you to take these things as something urgent. So I'll hope to say something more about that in the final head. But what I'm trying to stress just now, though I'm going on to some of the implications of these things, and perhaps that's not altogether a bad thing, but you see, it's that we've got an opportunity and it will come to an end. We've got an opportunity. When we pass into the eternal world, we'll have no more opportunity. We need to make use in time of the opportunity that is ours. We must all appear, Paul tells us, before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. The things done in this body. Not that we might hope for some further opportunity after the soul has left the body. The judgment is on the basis of what happens while we are still here in this world. Yes, this is our opportunity. There is no possibility of finding these things in another world. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. There's the judgment then. When the wicked shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal, on the basis of what took place in this life. See the importance of what you do with your opportunities in this life. Yes, and just let me add in connection with the dead which die in the Lord, they do rest from the labors we find in Revelation 14, and their works do follow them. The work of believing, the work of trusting in the Lord God, the work of living godly in Christ Jesus. Yes, their works do follow them. Have we any such works by God's grace? May we thank God if we have some hope that the Lord has been at work in our souls, then all will be well at death and all will be well at the resurrection and at the judgment. But let me emphasize now in the third place that we must work seriously now. Let us begin with this. The call that comes at the beginning of chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, Solomon goes on to speak about the difficulties of old age. Now before these days come, we're to remember our Creator. In the days of our youth, those of you who are here and still young, remember your Creator. Remember the one who gave you a being in this world. Remember him who came into this world to save sinners. Remember him as one who has exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Go to him. Do not forget. Do not put him aside and say, I'll come back later. You may never do so. You may never have the opportunity to do so. Remember him now. Seek him now before it is too late. May the Lord have mercy on us. On us all. However young you may be, you've got a soul. And that soul must pass into eternity. Seek the Lord now. Ask the Lord to give you grace to seek him now before it is too late. Yes. Be in earnest about your soul. You see, Christ, He is an example. He's much more than an example, but he is an example. See what he said. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I must work the works that God sent me to do. He did. He did them perfectly. He never forgot them. Even when he was just 12. He had to be about his father's business. Well, anybody here who is about that age, remember that. Remember that exam. I must work the works that God has put me in this world to do. What is that? Well, various things. For instance, to show a godly example to others. To keep the commandments. To work honorably in this world. Now that's three things. The overlap. But you see, God has sent you into this world to show a godly example to others. And if you don't have Christ, you cannot show a godly example. However upright you might be. But you see, Christ was the light of the world. He had a work to do and he did it. We have a work to do. Have we begun to do it? However imperfectly. Christ did his work perfectly. Will not. But still, are we doing it at all? Let us seek grace to live godly. To be of those who live godly in Christ Jesus. They'll have the reward. May we be among them. May the Lord keep us. And again, referring to another chapter in John's Gospel, chapter 12, and Christ saying, let yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Walk in the light that Christ is shining out into the world. Walk in the light of Scripture. Yes. You that are still unsaved. You that are still going on in your own ways. The light is shining. The darkness is going to come. Death is going to sweep us into eternity. A darkness as far as this world is concerned. But you see, we're to walk in the light that Christ shines into this world. You're to be asking, Lord, shine that light into my heart, into my very soul, so that I might see Jesus who came into the world to save sinners. Yes, we're to be earnest. We're to do it heartily. We're to pray from the heart. We're to be sincere before God. Yes, we're to do it heartily. Because the Lord is commanding us. Let us not be rejecting it. Him. Let us not be turning away from these things. The darkness will come. We've got to make use of our opportunity. See again what you have in Luke 13. Where the Lord is saying, the Lord Jesus, strive to enter in at the straight gate. It It's a narrow gate into the kingdom of God. But be in earnest, strive. Strive to enter in. Be in earnest to enter into the kingdom of God. Be in earnest about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You might make it as an excuse that you cannot believe and that you've been told that any number of times. And there's truth in that. But you see, you're still to strive. You're still to be in earnest. You're still to be pleading earnestly with God. I don't know what was going on in that mini submarine that was lost. When people realized that things were looking grim, was there anybody seeking earnestly for the good of their souls? Knowing that their opportunity was short, very short, or could well be, unless by some wonder in God's providence they were delivered from that situation. But you see, we don't know how long we've got left. It may be very short, but we're to strive, we're to be in earnest, we're to be seeking earnest. So our opportunity was bounded by a few hours, perhaps, very little time. Would we be in earnest? Well, I can't answer that question. We should be. There's no question about that. But there have been people who have hardened their hearts so long and so often. And though they knew that death was not far away, they were too hard to seek the Lord. Their hearts were too hard. They didn't even cry, "Lord, soften my heart. Give me desire." Ah, that would be a good prayer. Give me living desires after Christ. To have him as my Savior. Are you asking that? And the people of God may well be asking things of that nature. They need grace and more grace. Though they have grace, they need more grace. And where will they get more grace? Oh, from the one who gave them grace in the first place. Through the working of the Holy Spirit in their soul. The Lord is able to give you a blessing at this communion season. He's able to bless the unconverted. He is able to bless his children. Let us be seeking the Lord together. Whatever our particular situation. See, the Lord hears prayer. The Lord is ready to forgive. The Lord is ready to give grace. Yes. Let me set Satan before you. We're told some things about Satan. And in one way, he can be an example to us. And what I mean, what I'm pointing to is this. Satan is continuously active. In a bad way, of course. And Charles Bridges says something like this in writing on Ecclesiastes, that Satan is never asleep. He's never neglecting what he wants to do. It'd be a good thing for the world if he did fall asleep. But you see, his activity, it's a bad activity, so in that respect it's not an example. But how active he is when we are inactive. With an unsaved soul, perhaps. Or in some spiritual difficulty, perhaps. How active we should be. How earnest we should be in connection with our souls. Satan is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's not a good example. He's active. But he's active in a bad way. Oh, how much we need protection from the Lord. How much we need to be asking the Lord to protect us from Satan and his evil activity. But you see, Have we got our priorities right? Yes, our ordinary work and our ordinary responsibilities, they need our attention. But you see, there's something first. There's something that should have the first place, and that is our souls. See how emphatically the Saviour spoke. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, these other things, shall be added unto you. But first, in the first place, it's our souls. It's to seek our souls. Yes. Is that the way with this? Or is there many another thing that you would wish for? Well, there may be many other things that we would wish for, but we must put our souls first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And there's the encouragement. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Ah, we may find it very, very difficult to seek the Lord with our whole heart. But you see, all these things should be added to the petitions that we should be sending up to the Lord in the name of Christ. Give me that wholeheartedness. Give me that desire. Give me that earnest desire. Give me that earnest seeking. For the sake of Christ, it's all for his sake. All the blessings that we can have, they're for the sake of Christ. Oh, let us look to him. Let us trust in him. Yes. And let us go to the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon gives it to us at the end of his book. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole matter is set before us in the 12th chapter. What is it? What's the conclusion? What conclusion are we to draw on the basis of what Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And we need to remember that if we are to fear God, if we are to keep his commandments, it's because of his gracious work in our souls for the sake of Christ, the gracious work of the Holy Spirit. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And remember the call of Christ, come unto me. But it can be put like this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. We are such poor creatures. May we say that sincerely and think it sincere. And come before thee seeking for a blessing. Have mercy on us all, every one of us. And all connected with us, young and old. Oh, have mercy. That we would indeed believe in Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Make us earnest. Make us sincere. Give us thy blessing. Bless all that is done in thy name at this communion season. Do not leave us, but give thy blessing. Grant thy word with power and enable us to be seeking thee earnestly. Do us good. Oh, come thyself. Give glory to thyself and the salvation of sinners. Be with us on the coming days. Bless the word and sacrament. And grant to be speaking powerfully. And give thy help in speaking and hearing. Pardon us all our sin. Give us a living faith in the one that was crucified. The one who is at thy right hand. Bless us, pardon us, make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.